On a yearly basis, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation awards a number of MacArthur Fellowships, commonly known as Genius Grants. Earlier this month, the foundation chose 25 people to receive the $625,000 grant. According to the foundation, selections are made based upon three criteria: exceptional creativity, promise for important future advances based on a track record of significant accomplishments, and potential for the fellowship to facilitate subsequent creative work. Among the 25 who will receive the grant this year is poet and ASU Associate Professor Natalie Diaz, and she's with me to talk about it. Natalie, first of all, congratulations. What will you be using the grant to work on?
I don't know. I mean, I'm finishing my second book now, Postcolonial Love Poem. I'm working on a bunch of collaborations with different artists, some here at Arizona State. And, you know, also, we don't start getting the payments for another 4 months, and my mother, you know, made sure I learned well not to spend money I don't have yet. So okay. It is exciting, though, to know that there's possibilities now that I didn't have before.
Poetry has a reputation for certain people of doing certain things. And can poetry, how relevant is poetry and that sort of thing? Obviously, it's very relevant in some ways. How does that sort of form work for what you want to express? Why has it been such a good fit for you?
Well, I think one is that I'm really engaged with language. First and foremost, my indigenous language, also the Spanish language. And I also think that if we were able to pay a little bit more attention to language in America, you know, to the bodies that language carries, to the bodies language erases or makes visible, I think we wouldn't be in some of the situations we're in now. And especially now in America, language is being diminished. I mean, you know this as being a part of media. I know this as being a part of university. You know, and just across the board, it's kind of like, how can we remind each other that when we use language, we're talking first and foremost about our own bodies, and we're carrying that body to another body. And it's a connection that's, you know, that is basically developed like a technology of touch in a way. And I think that's something that intrigues me most, but it's something that also feels to me one, like it's one of the most important elements of poetry, and how poetry might be able to save us from some of the cliffs we might be diving off of right now.
So should words be used more to elevate than devalue, and is it being used too much to devalue now?
Yeah, I think they're just being used in a way, we've gotten so used to using them in such a utilitarian way that we forget that they are attached to our body, they're made by our body in certain ways, and that it's a real gift to be able to utter a word or to sing a word or to, you know, to call someone's name, for example, or to hear your name called. You know, that's a real gift. It's saying, like, I exist in a way. And, you know, something that's interesting to me is that in most countries, poetry has been the tool of revolution, and we're still such a young country in some ways, like the American country. What's beneath it in terms of indigeneity, that's a much older space and a much older language. But our American language, you know, and it's this, you know, mixture of, you know, all of these immigrant languages we have, but it's still so young that I think it hasn't realized its revolutionary power.
Does your ability and the fact that you are so adapt in multiple languages, has that made you love words even more? Do you think that would encourage, if more people were up for, you know, not just learning a language because they're going on a trip, but wanting it because of sort of an emotional heft, would that be a real societal positive?
Yeah, and I think less about the knowing part and more about the connection part. You know, language is really based on land, which is why with indigenous communities, the land that you came up on is so important. Like, that land has shaped your language, it's shaped your body, it's shaped the stories you tell, it's shaped the way your imagination works. And so I think that, to me, is maybe one of the values we don't often have the time or the space to consider, is that it really is the force and the shape of our imaginations. And so our futurity depends on the words we use and how we use them.
So when I get a chance to talk with talented writers and artists, I always have to ask about the process to some extent, because there are some people who really are tormented and it's a laborious process, but they need it in their gut or in their heart. They have to do it. For others, it is work, of course, but it's also more of a loving process and something that feels more comfortable. Do you fall into either of those categories?
Yeah, I probably both. I think any artist, or, you know, I think we're all artists in a way, like we have an art of doing this. I can imagine like the process of the work you do here, and it might be different than mine, but in terms of our passions for what we do, they're very similar. And I think, you know, the tormented part is just, it's very easy to skip through the day and not feel anything. But when you have built a structure, when you enter a structure, and for me that structure is sometimes poetry. At one time it was the basketball court, but now it's the structure of a page or the structure of a book or even the classroom with my students. But when you enter that space that says, I'm willing to be vulnerable, or I'm willing to feel, or I'm willing to not know something, that I think is the tormenting part. But it's also the part that, you know, it's also the part that brings me the most joy, and not in a way that says I've done this thing, I've won this poem, but just in a way that is engaging me, that I can, you know, again, the power of imagination or the power of asking a question to me feels really exciting.
How important with what you do, is there a need to see the beauty in what is around us, the beauty in your art, the beauty in other people? Because sometimes that can be a real test of our energies as well, a test of our wills. Do you need a level of optimism with the work you do?
I think futurity is something I think about more, and I don't necessarily need my futurity to be optimistic. You know, I think even beauty is something that we've been taught in a certain way, and I wonder sometimes, like, in order for it to be beautiful, what are we demanding that it entail, or what are we demanding be absent from a thing we're allowed to call beautiful? Does it need to be a passive thing? Does it need to be something we want to conquer? Does it need to be, you know, what are the conditions, again, of beauty, or when we're really willing to recognize beauty? I'm interested in the ability to just ask a question. Like, to me, that feels like futurity. If I can ask a question, or I can wonder about what's possible, to me, maybe that's more important than something that has been proven as beautiful or as successful. And maybe I'm drawing a very thin line between optimism and futurity, or optimism and possibility. But again, you know, if you can imagine something, that is one of the most powerful things. And that's the way poetry works. It's, you know, there are these words that we've managed to put on a page, but really the way they're working is not with those symbols on the page. They're working between my imagination and the imagination of my readers.
Well, Natalie Diaz, thanks very much for coming in and talking with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it was great to meet you. Thanks again. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Natalie Diaz is a poet and associate professor at ASU. She's one of 25 people this year to have won the MacArthur Genius Grant.